I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest review, Drive Away Dolls.
Directed by Ethan Coen, Drive Away Dolls is the comedy road film that Coen co-wrote with his wife, Trisha Cook. The movie is out now, but if you haven't watched Drive Away Dolls yet and you want to, go watch it first before listening to our full review. We will be talking spoilers.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So, Luke, what is Drive Away Dolls about?
Jamie, an uninhibited free spirit who is bemoaning yet another breakup with a girlfriend, and her demure friend, Marion, who desperately needs to loosen up, are in search of a fresh start. The two embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, but things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals along the way.
You got a screening invite for this, didn't you?
Well, we both did, but only one of us could make it. So yes,
you could only
Was a smaller screening than certainly what a Universal film would normally get, but a really nice cinema here in Perth. And yeah, limited seats. It really was like this low-key screening. And you know what? I'd not seen a trailer. I didn't even know what it was. But I'm like, yeah, sure.
One of those,
I'll come.
Hey?
I'll come. Matt Damon's in it, you say. Yeah, I'll come and watch this movie. And as the film's unraveling
before my eyes,
I'm like, this is what it is. But yes, it was an interesting experience.
So I remember after you watched it, and obviously we don't like to disclose how we felt about certain movies until we get to this point in time. But you basically said, look, I can't say too much, but holy shit. Like, go out, watch it, and then we'll obviously, because we need a review and stuff, but more so you're just like, go, like, we need to talk about this. But again, like you, I didn't have any preconceived notion. Like, I saw the poster, I was like, all right, it looks kind of wacky. Got some faces that I'd recognize, some, especially like some of the younger girls are quite funny in roles that I've seen them in or whatever. But literally no idea. You get to the opening scene of this movie and, like, you got Pedro Pascal. He's in a diner and then he's in an alley and then he has no head and then there's a briefcase.
Yeah. And do you know what?
What's happening, man?
Honestly, do you know what I thought was happening with that opening scene?
I thought it
was going to cut to the characters watching a movie, but no,
binging out on the couch or something.
His head returns later in the movie. It is all one film, but you do ask the question, what the hell is happening? Because his scream is so over the top, and it's like, it's such a weird one. And that's what I was saying to you before you watched it without, you know, looking at, you know, spoiling anything, but it's one to watch, one to talk about. And I definitely did enjoy not knowing what I was in for. But yeah, it's an interesting one. And even before the film started, like, the rep from Universal, she's like, it's got an 84-minute runtime. You're like, excuse me? What? It was just everything about this movie. I'm like, what's going on? It's how short? And Pedro Pascal's lost his head? Is he not going to be in this movie? And where's Matt Damon? Yeah, and, you know, essentially it is a lesbian road trip movie. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So this is what it is. And, you know, quirky characters come in and out of it. Like, one in particular, like, Beanie Feldstein, wow, as Sucky, she was fantastic as the angry ex of Jamie. I thought her character was great when she was first introduced, but then you find out she's a cop and bosses the other cops around, and she's very competent in a fight, and
yeah,
so, like, many colorful characters.
We move away from her character after the breakup, and you kind of think that's it for her. But I was glad they went back to her, and then, as you said, all the stuff with her being a cop, like, it's pretty fun. But it really is the two main leads that that we've got. You know, they're the ones going on this road. They're basically saying, hey, let's just pack up and go. Like, let's just get out, get away for a bit. Margaret Qualley as Jamie, who is the more like out there crazy one. She's sporting this Texan accent. We've got Geraldine Viswanathan, who's playing Marin, who's a little bit more reserved. It kind of seems like she still needs to sort of work herself out a little bit. Like, she knows who she is, but there's still a little bit more to her that she's like, I don't know, is there more to me? It's just like, so look, there's all the foundation for something in terms of, like, you know, like a coming of age story, you know, these a very like prolific journey that you take with these girls. But what they cram into how many minutes? 84, and that includes credits. Like, it's fast paced. There's a lot of stuff happening, I suppose, but at the same time, there's also a lot of scenes where there's a lot of very quick, like dialogue exchanges. There's conversations, and the conversations get deep. They're kind of written in a way. As I'm watching, I'm like, I'm listening to the dialogue play, and I'm like, okay, someone's written all this stuff for these characters to say, and it's kind of coming across like they want it to sound pretty profound, and they're, you know, like I said, like they what the movie should be doing, they're getting into each other's psyches and they're talking about themselves and discovering things. And it's like, but when you actually listen to what they're saying, they're actually just talking gobbledygook. They're just talking shit.
Well, they're young. People talk shit when they're young. It's pretty but on point.
We spend so much time with them doing that it's like, but like, why? Like, what's the point of all of this? It's crazy. And then there's the stuff they find in the car, and then it's like, what is it? And then they're being chased because they pick up the wrong car from the driveway thing, and then they're being chased by these goons, and then it's just dildos, but it's like dildos of Matt Damon, but not Matt Damon.
Well,
like,
no, no, Senator Gary Chanel or Channel.
Chanel or something, yeah.
It's his cast. You know, I missed completely that Miley Cyrus was in this movie. I honestly didn't know until doing prep for this. I'm like, oh, so she played Tiffany Plasticaster. I missed that completely. And her character is loosely based on Cynthia Plasticaster, an artist who gained fame for creating plasticast out of male celebrities' erect penises. There you go. So they say loosely based. It sounds like it is her.
And you say character, like, she's on screen for like a second.
I mean, she's uncredited, to be fair. She is uncredited, but I missed that she was in it. I had no idea.
Well, she appears during one of those weird psychedelic sort of transition scenes that keep happening. And like, there's a few of those things in this movie. And it's like, I get what they're doing with this film. Like, they're trying to sort of capture or pay homage to or harken back, I don't know, whatever they're doing, like those old like 70s exploitation films where it's like, you know, they're real edgy and they were putting things on film, you know, like, and it, you know, it's pretty hardcore and stuff, and you had like this psychedelic feel to it, and you know, those kind of like film tropes. Like, I see what they're doing, but is it actually working? You know, are we actually getting a delivered, you know, like, high quality film?
Yeah.
Like,
well, for me,
in no way can I say yes. Like,
it
not at
started,
all. Like, I'm like, no.
It started working, and then it just became too repetitive for me, and then it was taking me out of it, if I'm honest, like the midway point onwards. But to begin with, it was working because it fit the tone of what they were trying to do, having it be this like classic road trip movie, and just those cut scenes and talking about the 70s. They did it in that 70s show, obviously not as like trippy as what we're getting in this movie, but just to break up the scenes, then have the characters do something psychedelic or whatever, the cast of that show. But it definitely, it's got that 70s feel, and that's obviously what they were going for. But then we get Matt Damon as the senator, and he's over the top, and not a nice guy and all of that.
But it's kind of like the movie keeps building for something. And I felt like, you know, as we said, you've got the opening scene and you're just thinking, what the hell is going on? What's happening? You realize, okay, this is a road trip movie with these girls. And like, then there's like, okay, cool. The actual plot is they're going to get, like, they're being followed by these guys because of the mix up in the car. All right, that's the plot. That's what's happening. You're waiting for the payoff of all of that to come to a head. I mean, it's like, it all comes together, but there's no real like, oh yeah, cool. Like we got there and there's just nothing at the end of it. I feel like it's
self just like discovery gags on their part, isn't it? Like, you know, you said that Marion, she was probably more lost than Jamie. They found each other, they connect on a different level. And so it's less about what's really in the boat and in the suitcase. Yeah. Then,
and I'll admit, I found myself, if there were any points in this movie for me to be like, okay, I'm engaged into it, was when it was like their friendship, and then they were sort of starting to cross the lines and exploring that. But even that, it's like they did it, and it kind of then just got sort of like brushed over. I mean, they come back to it, and there's the scene in the shower and stuff, and I was like, okay, cool. Like there's stuff there, but there's not much of that. A lot of the rest of this movie, I mean, there's a lot of sexy times in this film. Is. Yeah. In its 84-minute run. And you'd think I'd be all for it, but I'm like, just watching this, like, am I meant to feel uncomfortable? Like, there's quite a lot. There's a lot happening. I don't know. Maybe it's like, it's because it's all just chicks, but it's like, I don't know.
You watched it at home. I watched it at the cinema with people.
Yeah, yes. My wife tapped out.
Oh, did she?
I made the conscious decision I will continue to watch the movie, but by myself. And that made it weirder. Because I'm a 33-year-old straight male watching this lesbian road trip movie. And I'm like, I don't think this movie's for me. But then I'm like, if I'm critical on it, like, am I an asshole? Or is it just because the movie's not for me? Like, or is it genuinely not a good movie? Like, I'm not sure.
Well, all right, do you know what? I think before we get to the rating, we should probably say that at the end of this film, it gets a new title. It's no longer Drive Away Dolls. It's Drive Away Dykes. And you're like, yeah, huh, okay, I can see it. That's what we've been watching for the last 84 minutes.
But it's not just Driveway Dykes. I think the, like, you know, the director, and you know, because he wrote this with his wife, they wanted to name it Driveway Dykes, but I think sort of as a marketing thing, not really the right sort of thing.
It's not really fitting with Universal's brand.
Yeah, all that. But also worth noting is that not only did it have a title change on the screen, but it also says Henry James's Drive Away Dykes, and I'm like, who the hell is Henry James? Like, it's not the director, it's not any of the producers or anything like that. So I looked up who is Henry James. The first name that comes up is an American British author who has done things, you know, he's influenced by like Charles Dickens and Edgar Allan Poe, you know, that kind of caliber. I can't find anything that makes me like understand what's the connection, why they've chosen that name, if it's this guy they're referring to, or if I'm completely off thing. But some notable works that he's done was The American, and this is all like 1800s kind of times, The American, Daisy Miller, Washington Square, The Portrait of a Lady, The Aspern Papers, What Maisie Knew, The Turn of the Screw. I don't know, man. I don't know what the Henry James's Drive Away Dykes is referring to. You have any thoughts, or did you not put anything into this at all?
No, I was waiting for you to give me all the answers.
No, I don't know. It, like,
but, yeah, thought, but you're, oh, right. Look, I mean,
Wikipedia will give me a breakdown of what that means. Nothing. Don't even mention it. They literally say on screen it appears this title. I'm like, yeah, but who the like, who's Henry James? And then there's a hyperlink to it. And as I clicked on it, I'm like, okay, well, that's also the same Henry James that I've Googled. Don't know, man.
You've done the work. I did have a quick look on IMDb. Nothing.
Nothing.
But Ethan Coen, you know, directed this, and this is the first film he's directed without the involvement of his brother, Joel. So there you go. His first one. But he wrote to his wife, so that's nice.
So once you get married, it's all about the wife. You know, family, gone. Not really. Just kidding. Should we rate this movie?
Yeah. Already said to you that it was one to watch just as a experience. Again, I went in not knowing what it was going to be. Again, really thrown by that runtime when that was announced at the beginning. And so it doesn't drag because it's so fast paced and the quirky characters that are coming in and out of this movie and all the lesbian sex, there's always something going on. That crazy opening, I still don't know what's happening. Head gets cut off, and yeah, it's a fun time. It is. But it's one of those where you can say, I've seen it. Are you going to watch it again? Probably not. I've seen it. I liked it for what it was and when I watched it. So it is one to recommend on that basis. But yeah, I'm going to come in at a 3 out of 5 on this one because I did like it. I did also like the not knowing what it was going to be outside of the title and that one poster that I'd seen. But yeah, I did have a good time with this one. What about yourself?
I can also have had a good time. You know, you say it didn't drag, short runtime. I get it. But even for a short runtime, like, yeah, I was happy for this to be over when it was.
I didn't need it to be longer. I'm not saying that. But we also experienced it differently. Like, when there's gags in the movie and there is a lot of jokes in it, my audience erupted. So my audience was vibing with this movie. So I think that would have added to my enjoyment. Whereas you watched it at home and your wife literally walked out of the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen her since. Don't know where she is.
So we definitely had different experiences with it.
I'll just say, like, I don't understand this movie. Like, I just don't get it. And maybe it's because it's not for me, but I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand the purpose of it. I don't really understand what it's trying to say, what it's trying to do. Like, I don't know. Can I say, like, performances were overly great? Like, I don't know, not really. They weren't bad, but there's not much that I could really say I'm given a ticks of approval for. Like, Margaret Qualley, you know, like, gorgeous to look at. A Texas accent was driving me crazy. Like, not that I have anything against Texas accents, just the one that she was putting on, I was just like, I can't deal. I cannot deal with it.
I don't know her from anything else. All I know is that she's the daughter of Andy McDowell. That's it. I don't know.
Which blew your mind.
You did, no, yeah. But I don't know.
She's been in quite a lot of stuff. I think, you know, your IMDb, her, you're actually fine. You'll be like, oh man, I've watched a lot of things that she's in. And if you then rewatch that stuff, you'll be like, well, bloody hell, there she is. She's right there. She's in a few things. I don't know. I'm teetering around it. I want to give a 2, but like, I feel like that's too high. But I think, nah, I can't do it. 1.5 out of 5. This is a flat movie for me. It wasn't funny. It wasn't really enjoyable. 1.5. I did it. I feel mean.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't really enjoyable. If it wasn't too late, they could have had that for the poster.
Yeah. Oh, put on the DVD or something.
When I go so much higher than your rating, I'm always glad that I've gone first.
I feel like we've been really skewed this year.
We really have. What I'm finding so far, you know, our first review of the year was The Beekeeper. I just think I'm enjoying films more this year than you are.
I think I'm just coming across as like, I hate everything. I feel like that's the vibe.
I mean, we don't need to say it here, but I gave Argyle a really high rating. So go back and listen to that review. But my curve
and
is
maybe
higher.
I didn't.
My curve's higher than your rating so far this year.
Yeah, we should chart it. We should put like a what's that graph? I don't know, a dot graph or something. That's what they call it. It's the technical term. Whatever. That's it. That's our review of Drive Away Dolls. If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review, where I'm usually more positive and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent review of Argyle.
You've been listening to Jason.
And you've been listening to Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.